When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome into the PHNX Suns VIP Lounge for the 15th time in a row. Espo, I don't know. Everyone was talking about it. It's a little weird, but I think deep down we knew this was going to be a W for the Suns.
Or yes,
we should have known at the very least.
Finally, the first complete victory of the year. There was a lull. There was a letdown. There was a moment where you went, oh, no. This was a full wire-to-wire complete domination by the Suns. And hats off to Devin Booker, right, man? This guy could not have played better tonight. He loves playing in the garden. Elon in the chat saying Devin could have got 40 easy. True, but they got bigger fish to fry in another burrow tomorrow night when they take on the Nets. I'd rather save some of those points and let him come up big against the Nets than have to deal with try to get him 40 tonight. It just doesn't, I don't care that much about the 40 as I do about getting two more W's and tying the all-time record here. But Lindsay, and before we get any further in this game, I just want to say this, and let's be very 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 clear.
Okay.
The Phoenix Suns are the best team in basketball and have been one of the best for the last 18 months. If you look at it, since the bubble, the Suns are 89-32. They have a 74% win percentage. This team is not a fluke. They've done it over parts of three seasons now. Put some damn respect on this team's name already.
Retweet. I'm with you, Espo, 100%. Now, just a reminder, we are brought to you by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. The Phoenix Suns defeated the New York Knicks 118-97, extending that win streak to 15 straight. And, okay, so here's the thing, Espo. You brought up giving Devin more time to rest and sit on the bench because you don't care about the 40 and the records. And I'm with you. That's the smart and wise thing to do. It's what you should do, right? It was what Monty did do. Selfishly, though, I kind of wanted more Devin. I'm a little bit upset that we have to play the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow and we don't have an off day. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, would I have loved to seen Devin Booker have an even bigger night? Yes, of course I would. You always want to see greatness, especially on the stage that is the Mecca, the Garden, and what he could have accomplished in terms of team records there in the Garden. But look, we understand the reality of things, and unfortunately, that's just not the way this is playing out. The Nets are a very good team. You got to face them tomorrow night, and hopefully he's got a chance to set some Barclay Center records tomorrow night, and Monty lets him put it all out there on the court, no matter how much they're winning. By the way, let's send our thoughts and prayers to Robert York's liver. In the pregame, he said he's taking 15 shots if they won. I'm pretty sure he's well on his way to that right now.
Or to the ER. We'll find out. I guess he'll let us know tomorrow what happened with that one. Yes, we've got bigger fish to fry than personal records. And I guarantee you, if you ask Devin Booker about whether he would want to have that record at the Garden or if he would want to have the W, he 100% of the time would say the W. But let's go to the bar, Espo. Let's join Robert and get some drinks.
You want to go to the bar? Oh, we'll go to the bar.
Yeah, let's go to the bar.
It's sexy in the city tonight is what's on tap, and that is Devin Booker. All right, and we're not talking about his looks. We all know that. The man brings that every night. But that jumper was wet. He's hitting from deep. He's hitting the middy. He had it going. He was cutting the bucket. Everything you want to see from Devin Booker, oh, you got it tonight. Any shot over 50% from the field. Devin Booker was definitely sexy in that New York City at the Garden tonight.
Yes, absolutely. You cut out there a little bit for me, but I hope that everyone else heard, and that was just on my side of things. But he was absolutely sexy in the city tonight. That was so weird to say, but you are absolutely right, Espo. I just can't get enough of games like this for Devin, but also just everything that he's done this season. It's been so fun to watch him grow and develop even more as a basketball player.
Yeah. I mean, defensively tonight, he looked really good too. Like, let's not forget that portion of his game that likely isn't getting enough attention. He came through, had a pretty block in that, I believe it was the third quarter. He plays defense even better than we've seen him do. Devin Booker is the real deal. Devin Booker is a superstar, and Devin Booker deserves some damn all-star votes. We're starting to see him kick it into that next gear that we hadn't seen yet this year with the efficiency and the big numbers. Devin Booker's just another level. And I said it, I think it was the other night. I think it was on Wednesday night. Devin Booker, the numbers may not say it, but Devin Booker is by far the most prolific scorer in Suns history and will be the best Sun ever when it's all said and done, especially if he plays his entire career in purple and orange.
Absolutely. And I really hope he does. I would be so disappointed if he left or if we let him leave. And by we, I don't mean us, but you know what I'm saying.
I don't think I signed the checks, but I do know what you're saying.
Right. Because it would end up coming down to that. It wouldn't be that he would want to leave. It would be that we kind of like let him go. But we're not even going to get down that road because knock on wood, it's never going to happen. Devin stays us on his entire career and we win a bunch of titles.
Way to bring the temperature and the mood down in the room.
I know, I'm sorry.
Manuel says the streak has had its quinceañera. So let's enjoy that. Enjoy the party. The dress was beautiful that the streak wore tonight at its quinceañera. So.
Well, since we're talking about Devin Booker, should we already just jump right to it and name him the draft king of the game? Because it's no surprise that the crown is on his head tonight. He lit it up at the Garden. 32 points, 14 of 27 from the field, 4 of 9 from the three-point line. Like you mentioned, Espo, his defense was solid tonight as well. I was going to bring it up in the pregame show, but I didn't want to jinx it. But Evan Fournier historically has played better against Devin Booker than he has in his career, but that wasn't the case here tonight. And I think it's there's a couple of reasons why, but I think a lot of it should be credited to the fact that Devin's defense has grown so much since the start of his career.
Devin's defense on the offensive end, he makes it look so easy. I mean, I joked on Twitter that jumper's sweeter than the pecan pie that you were sitting there eyeing all day. I mean, it's so pretty. Like it's just, it gives you goosebumps when you think about how pretty that jumper was. And he had it going so well tonight for sure. And he's a big reason why the Suns shot 55%. Overall to the next 37%. I mean, the Suns made the plays tonight. The Knicks did not have the horses to run with this team.
Nope, they did not. And then what was the, I mean, listen, we can sit here and talk forever about Devin Booker and his performance. And we did this on Wednesday night as well. It's just like Saul was saying then, which, by the way, everyone who was asking where Saul's at, he's got the night off and so does Gerald. So it's me and Espo holding it down for you guys. But don't worry about that. It's one of those things that it's like you expect this from Devin, right? Like a 32-point performance from Devin is just a Devin type of a performance. Yeah. The minute we start getting to the 40 and the 50-point performances, that's when our jaws are going to drop like they did a couple years ago when Devin was having 30-point performances.
I think you could have had that 40 or 50 tonight.
Oh, 100% would have at least had 40.
Tonight's performance was one of those where my jaw was at least slightly agape, because that was how well he was shooting. That was the next level. I mean, he went full Armani mode in this game and was precise in his cuts to the hoop, was hitting those threes with pretty relative ease as well overall.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say, like, to that point, I feel like the Suns really took advantage tonight of the poor transition defense by the Knicks. And I feel like a couple of those threes from Devin were within that same category where it was like, how are you leaving this man that open? Like, have you not been watching this game that you're playing right now?
Well, you know, it was part strategy from the coach of the year over there, Tom Thibodeau. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Monty didn't deserve that when you look at how well the night went. So.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how anybody leaves Devin Booker open, right? Like, I don't get that at all. How do you in your right mind as a defender ever leave Devin Booker? I leave anybody else on the court open. I don't shift off of Devin Booker at any point. I stay locked in. As a matter of fact, I might have two guys that stay locked in on him on a night like tonight when he's playing like that. When he's that locked in, there's just no sense in giving him any space. If you give him an inch, he's going to make that, right? There's no way to give him any breathing room defensively.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's talk about a few of the other players on the Suns team who showed up big tonight, because it was a group effort. And I want to highlight Mikal Bridges. I mean, again, I love the way Mikal Bridges plays. Tonight, he finished with 10 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, and 2 rebounds. But he was feasting out there on both ends of the court. Like, he was just, it was such a good game from Mikal Bridges. And I loved seeing, okay, I know we're going to get into it, so I don't want to jump ahead. But that highlight there, I think it was at the top of the second quarter where he finished with the left hand. That was so beautiful.
Why don't we just go there?
I didn't mean to jump ahead too much.
Maybe. Here we go. So the Knicks get the miss there, and then it's off on the to the races. Campaign finds him, and then he just in midair. He's got Obi Toppin who's licking his lips. It looks like he thinks he's gonna get the block, and Mikal just goes with the left and goes in for this monster dunk. It's sick, and I know that's overused. That's a term that's not reserved. Enough for plays like that, but he just took it to him. And I feel like if Devin didn't have it going offensively tonight, we would have seen an even bigger Mikal Bridges offensive game, but it wasn't necessary. So he could focus most of that effort on the defensive end, and we get these flashes offensively, like this cut to the hoop, which is next level. And our boy Eddie Johnson had what we're going to call our quote of the night as well about that play. Right after that dunk, he says, "Don't do that, Mikal. That's not right. That's unfair." And it's so freaking true.
That's like my favorite quote for sure. That had to be our quote of the night, because he's absolutely right. Like, that's just not right. It's so unfair because they didn't stand a chance against Mikal right there.
No, even Toppin, who thinks he has position, could do nothing to stop Mikal. And by the way, shout out to K-Ray for dropping the blade thing and going with the warden tonight. Another tip of the hat just for that. That was big time as well.
I think I saw on Twitter tonight. Okay, I'm going to have a hard time. Alcatraz, is that what it's called?
The
prison?
Jail, yes.
So it was Mikal Alcatraz?
Yeah, I saw
that. Does that make
sense?
Did you see that?
It's a bit of a stretch, but I'll just take the Warden. I mean, he slammed the cell door shut on that dunk when it came to Obi Toppin as well.
I like the idea of that new one that surfaced on Twitter, at least new for me, but I can't say it. So I feel like it only works when it's written. And Espo, you have one that's very similar too, that only works when it's written, right?
Which one? For who?
I don't, or maybe it's maybe it was for campaign. Yeah, I thought you had one that only worked when it was written.
It wasn't the it wasn't McHale, but you know, in a city known for its bridges, McHale was the most glorious tonight. All right, there are plenty of famous bridges in New York, and McHale was top of the mountain. That's how he was good. You look at the box score, and if somebody didn't watch this game and they just tune in, they're like, "You're talking about a guy that had 10 points and 3 assists and 2 rebounds, like he was next level. What's wrong with you people?" And it's like, no, he's an eye test guy. You have to watch the eye test with Mikal Bridges. When you see his game, you realize this Suns team does not win 15 in a row without the little things that Mikal Bridges does.
Absolutely. And all of these players, every single one of them contributed in different ways tonight that helped them put together this solid win. Like, I think you said this off the top. I think we could add this game into maybe one other game this year, which would have been the Memphis game, where it was a complete four quarters of basketball, of Suns basketball, good Suns basketball that we all know and love.
Yeah, there was never a doubt tonight. And we talked about it. We wanted to see this. We talked in pregame, like, you needed a wire-to-wire win. You needed a comfortable game. And they gave it. They came out and they played the best I think we've seen them play. I would say even better than the Memphis game. This game just felt like the Suns we saw last year, but with a few extra wrinkles. Just little things that, you know, you had some JaVale minutes that obviously we didn't see last year because he wasn't a part of this team. So JaVale comes through big as well at times, and that's huge.
I don't even like what was in the fourth quarter. It looked like Michael Jordan in Space Jam. Like
just stretching that arm.
They're in the world or in the air forever. And then he did the too short, too little thing. And he went all the way down to the floor with that. That was so funny to me. I loved that play by JaVale. The whole sequence was awesome for me.
JaVale brings something different. We saw some things that Landry Shamet did at times. I mean, he didn't have a spectacular game, but he had 8 points on 2 of 4 shooting from deep, had a few plays on the defensive end that you went, all right, Landry can add some minutes here. This, so they tie the 06-07 team for the second longest win streak now at 15. We're getting to the point where we may be talking about the best Suns team we've ever seen. And when you see that level that they reached tonight, you go, okay, it was fun. It was good, solid basketball. It was unselfish basketball. And Devin Booker showed that he was a star on a huge stage. We may be finally getting to where we all knew this team could be. We thought they were there at the playoffs, but I feel like they found that next gear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, like we've said earlier this week as well, tomorrow and Monday will be a big test for them. But I'm not worried about it. Tonight's game gave me even more faith and trust in this team. That part of me, like, we've made the joke, right? Like, they're playing with their food. Just hurry up and finish it. Part of me feels like maybe they actually were a little bit, like, I don't know that it would ever actually come out and be said or anything, but they were, you know, there's a lot of talk about we're finding ways to win games. Are they just finding the different ways that they can add areas to beat teams later on, like better teams later on? and then pull out of that bag whatever they need in that moment when you're facing a team like the Nets or the Warriors. Like, has this just been all a part of like the master plan of figuring out what exactly works and what doesn't, and then putting it together from in a whole entire game kind of situation? Like, is that what's happening? Did that make any sense? Am I just getting way too out there?
No, I don't think intentionally they were playing with their food as we were joking. But I do think that when you go through games like they've had, you go, oh, we can do that. Oh, this works too. And then when it all comes together in a night like tonight, you go, oh, and there's that next level. Okay, we have everything that we need to go along to figure out how to win every type of game, is the mentality I assume these players have. This Suns team can win in a variety of ways. This is not like 7 seconds or less where it was, you got to run them out of the gym, otherwise you're not going to win. This team can win a defensive battle. This team can win a game where Devin Booker and Chris Paul don't shoot well. We saw that earlier in the year. This team can win a game where DeAndre Ayton doesn't play. We saw that numerous times while he was injured. Overall, this is a team that is learning what it's capable of. And I think that's where you were kind of.
Right. I don't know. I'm not saying that they were intentionally giving up like 20 point leads or whatever, but the idea more so that they're testing out different things each time, right? Like you mentioned, if we can find a way to win, even if Devin and Chris are not having a good night offensively, we can find a way to win when only one of them is having a good night, or we can just all these different, like they don't seem to be going to the same thing every night. It's always someone or something different, like a different plan of action to close them out. So anyway, I feel like I got us off on a tangent there.
I think there's a good point there, though, is you can't game plan for a team that has that many ways to win.
That's which very makes, true.
Makes it very difficult. Sure, you could take away Devin Booker, and then you're going to get punched in the face by DeAndre Ayton or Chris Paul, or Mikal and Cam are going to have a night, or Campaign off the bench is all of a sudden going to have a big game if you take something else away. That's what great teams do. They can, it's death by a thousand cuts with the opponent. You don't know where it's going to come from. And that's what makes this team so lethal and what makes them so interesting moving forward. Now, there'll be ebbs and flows in this season. They're not going to win the rest of their games. Let's not act like everything is going to be, roses the rest of the way. But the fact that they've shown this ability, as long as they stay healthy going into April and May, when you look at this, they're going to have a lot of different ways to win in mm-hmm. the playoffs, and you need that. And they did it a lot last year as well. So, by the way, our good friend Saul Bookman in the chat says, I'm with Brian. 15 wins deserves a Lindsay F-bomb. Brian did say.
No, we got to get the record for that.
Okay. All right. You all heard it here.
I'll do it.
Is it tie or if they win? Do they have to hit 18, or if they hit 17 against the Warriors, are we getting an F-bomb?
I feel like they have to beat it.
Oh, man, of course. look, the 17th win against the Warriors will be on my birthday if they get it. So I think that deserves an F-bomb too. So okay, I'm pushing for 17.
I'll consider. I'll let you right. know come Monday what I decide.
Our boy Mike B in the chat says, up, guys. Hope your Thanksgiving was amazing. Great win for sure. Book is a killer like always. My man needs a nickname. Kobe was Black Mamba. What about Book?
That's a great question.
I like the Hitman.
Not
the Hitman, the Equalizer.
I
don't know if you saw that Denzel movie, but Denzel, quiet, calculated, takes care of business, beats up on the people that prey on the lesser. I like the Equalizer for Devin Booker.
Is it bad that I don't want him to have a nickname, that I feel like Book is the nickname?
Magic was, it was, you know, Magic was a nickname, but it was also the first name That he went by, so that, you know, I don't think you necessarily need it. I mean, MJ, you know, I know he had Air Jordan as well, but like, I don't know. I don't think Book necessarily needs it. I don't give a crap as long as we get a chance to call him champion. I don't care what else he's called. So,
I mean, I like the Equalizer. I'm not mad at that by any means, but there's something that I love about just like even the thing that everyone tweets out constantly is always Book It, right? Like, I love that his name is within his nickname and within all of his like little calling cards, if you will, like the things that we tweet, like the little sayings or whatever that always come out whenever Devin has a great night. So I don't know. I kind of like it.
I don't mind Book. I mean, and when we've got, you know, we've adopted Armani mode when he has a crazy game like this.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
You know, which is a tip of the hat to his middle name as well, but also high class. So I don't know. I tend to be with you, but if I'm going to be backed in a corner and asked, hey, what should the nickname be? I'm gonna say the Equalizer. Elon Musk says call him Bookie. I'm not calling him Bookie. I'm not doing that. Yeah. He made
I'm sorry.
Though, so, you know.
Sorry, Elon. Can't get on board with that one.
Bailey wants
agent. All right. Well, agent while we are.
Oh, I was going to say Bailey wants agent 001. Nah, I don't know about that. He does have a license.
I don't think
kill,
it rolls
though.
Off the tongue as well, but it is a fun one. It's a good play for sure. While we are back on the topic of Devin Booker, shall we look at our tweet of the night, which came from his brother tonight? Davon said, all buckets too. He hasn't attempted a free throw. Devin did not attempt a single free throw in tonight's game, and he still finished with 32 points. Like, I'm shocked. Like, how did he not get to the line at all in this entire game?
Because he was just making so many, making it look so easy that the refs didn't want to really look at it. I don't know. Devin Booker tends to get, and you know, it's tough to say this when you're a 15 game win streak, but Devin Booker tends to get the refs screw him is what I'm trying to say in a polite manner. The refs tend to screw him in certain situations. And part of it's his own doing. When you complain that much about, about calls in general, eventually that wears on the refs. Plus, with the way they're calling fouls this season as well, it doesn't necessarily surprise me. But this wasn't, this wasn't an evenly called game from the free throw line either. I'm trying to look up the stats. It was a pretty big discrepancy at one point. But and forgive me,
So from the free throws, as far as free throws go, the Suns took 21 attempts. And the Knicks had 22 attempts.
So I guess that closed there later in the game, but earlier in the game, it was a pretty big discrepancy there. It doesn't matter. They won big.
Exactly.
I mean, at this point, I actually kind of like that Devin did it without any free throw attempts.
Too.
It's like it's the anti James Harden. It's like, hey, here's 32 all done pure, not with any of this BS, you know? So
yeah, I do love that.
And the Suns, let's be fair. The Suns did get some, a few calls on the CP3 rip through, which I still think will go away next year. I know it's legal this year, but I think it'll go away. But what is really driving me nuts with the fouls is let a damn fast break happen. I am so sick of these random off the ball backcourt fouls that stop any fast break. The NBA deserves to have the fast break back.
I agree, because listen, if you have done what needs to be done in order to have a fast break, you deserve what happens on the end of that. And so to break that up is just, I'm going to say, a low-key disrespectful to the game. I don't know if that's even a hot take at all, but I just feel like that was one of those fun things about basketball, right? Like, if you can get there, you deserve to have the shiny moment.
Well, yeah. And look, there's nothing more exciting than that fast break, right? I mean, you get on the run, you make a nice defensive stop, you kick it ahead to a guy, you're going to get a wide open dunk. And all of a sudden there's a whistle blown because somebody that's not even on camera, he's in the backcourt, decides to hack somebody else. It's just ridiculous. It has no place in basketball. There is no reason we should see it. Saul says not low key. It is disrespectful, Linz. And I,
thank you, Saul.
I agree. I just don't take it out of basketball. We don't need it. That this Suns team and Suns fans deserve to see a few impressive fast breaks this season, not have some punk foul change the trajectory of it. So,
mm-hmm. Connor said the Knicks broadcast brought this up tonight and how special fast breaks are. They did. I was actually watching the Knicks broadcast tonight unintentionally, but it just happened to be that. That is the broadcast that I had to watch tonight. So
illegal stream. Sorry, choked up there. I apologize.
Yeah, so you're right, Connor. They did bring that up. And so I think we're all in agreement there that's got to change. That's got to change. Yeah, Robert, I agree with you. I'm not going to read your comment, but I agree with you.
I'll say it. Robert says, I hate that sketchy Reddit streams are never the Phoenix broadcast.
I looked for like three different ones and they were all the Knicks broadcast. So it is what it is. Oh my gosh. Okay, Espo. Before we kind of close out with, we have two more topics left. But before we get into those, is there anything else you want to talk about from tonight's game?
Yeah, I have an apology I need to make to anybody that that joined the Crowder's Cash Club tonight. I apologize. We did not win. So we're going to probably retire that all respect to Devin Booker, our leader and savior in the first buckets tonight out there. So anybody that joined, it's fun. Maybe we'll just make it where we pick a random guy each night. It doesn't have to be Jay Crowder. We just keep the club going. And it's in the spirit of Jay Crowder winning me some money at the beginning, but I apologize. But if you guys want to do that, I highly recommend you go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use that code PHNX. It is it's the best thing you're going to do when it comes to sports gambling.
It is. And right now, if you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and you use that code PHNX that Espo was talking about, after you place just a $1 bet on any NFL team to score a point, you're going to win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. So you'll be a winner if a single point is scored on the team that you bet on, which I'm pretty sure that could be called a no-brainer bet. So if you haven't taken advantage of that, be sure to do so now. Again, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the promo code PHNX, bet $1 on any NFL team to score and win $100 in free bets instantly. Now, I do want to remind you guys that as 21 and older only, Arizona only, if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. It is for new customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
I love Connor in the chat saying, don't worry, Espo can bail us out of jail if we get caught with our streams with all that DraftKings money he has.
That's facts. I won a lot of money in the last week.
I love the Cove Crazies, but you and Lindsay, you're all on your own if the feds come knocking on the door.
You wouldn't bail me out at least?
Nope. You'd have to call Saul.
Wow.
that DraftKings money is sacred and is staying here and not bailing any of you out of jail. I'm sorry.
I see how it is, Espo. My goodness.
Win your own bets and get yourself out of jail is what I say.
Well, I would prefer to just not ever actually have to go to jail, but it's not my fault. It was an accident. I didn't mean to. I clicked on the wrong link. Scout's honor. Okay.
Connor. Wow. Espo, not a real one. All right,
yes,
Connor. Maybe
thank you.
Maybe for you, but not for Lindsay. All right. Maybe I'll bail you out.
Okay.
Brian, Espo, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, please.
Better call Saul. I mean, that's perfect that we have a Saul on our team here. Okay. So because Devin had an amazing night at the Garden, I wanted to bring this topic up and see what you guys were all thinking. So Dwayne Rankin, this is not my idea. This was Dwayne Rankin from AZ Central's idea. So he tweeted this out earlier today. Apparently he asked Devin what his best game at the Garden has been. And Devin said, I'll let the people decide. So Dwayne put up a Twitter poll and he asked, what was Devin's best game at Madison Square Garden? So the options that he gave us to choose from were in 2016-17, the game-winning three, in 2018-19 season, the 38 points, in the 19-20 season, 29 points, or the 2020-21 season with 33 points. Or is it tonight's game?
I think it's tonight's game. We would have seen his highest scoring performance at the Garden if they needed him out there. His shots were falling. We've talked it to death, but it was just pretty. I think tonight's game was Book's best at the Garden.
I think I would pick tonight's game too, because all the reasons you said, but also kind of going back again, if we weren't playing the Nets tomorrow, I firmly believe this would have been his highest scoring game at the Garden. Espa, did you just swap us?
Yeah, Chris said, random, it's bugging me that Lindsay's feet is on the left of Espo. She should be on the right as usual. There you go, Chris. We do nothing if not take care of our Cove crazies and what they need. I'll even switch the way the broadcast looks just for you guys. Sorry, Lindsay.
I love that, Chris. I feel like it would bother me too if I were you. No, totally fine. but I'm with you, Espo. I think I would pick tonight's game for sure. Although the game-winning three was super fun, just because it was such a big moment. So I think that's a good second. And so far with the poll that Dwayne Rankin put up, that's the one that's winning.
Well, game winners are always going to have that. I mean, there's nothing quite like hitting a buzzer beater, but if we're looking at totality and the question is game and not moment, I lean to tonight's. If we're talking individual moment, there's no doubt it's a game winner in that situation on that stage. That's the moment. This is the game in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. This is the game. That's the moment. I think the reason why that moment is so cool too is because he was so much younger at the time.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to get into this right now, Espo, but let's do a podcast when Saul and Gerald are back, because I want to know what your guys' opinion would be about if Devin had stability in his career early on, like from the jump. How much further along would he be now? So,
ooh, that's a good question.
I'm telling you that before Monday. I forget.
Monday, we will do that because we're light on games next week. So, we're going to have to do 2 p.m. shows. So, we'll do that.
Yeah. So, let's have that conversation next week. So, guys, stay tuned for that one. And then, our final topic of the night. Espo, do we have this one up? It was a tweet that went viral.
I don't have this one, so you're just going to have to read it.
I'm sorry. Well,
that's on me.
Let me find it. It was a young lady named Kate, and she got ratioed on Twitter tonight hard.
Let's see if I can
because beat you to it. She said, I try so hard not to judge, but it's always very telling when fans refer to teams as, quote, we. And then she sent another tweet right underneath that and said, the sooner you realize your favorite team does not care about you, the better. Okay.
Yes.
Initial
and
thoughts.
No. Yes and no. I mean, I don't think anybody that says we is like, they really give a damn how I feel tonight. I'm going to put on the uniform and play with my boys. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's more of a sense of community. And it's weird for you and I, too, because we literally were we worked for the organization, which makes it bizarre, too. But, you know, you're kind of taught as, you know, a member of the broadcast team, which, you know, you were actually in the games. I was after the games on radio, but we were kind of taught, don't say we, say the Suns, you know, say Phoenix, whatever the case may be. But I get it.
Oh, really? See, no, I was a homer.
Oh, well, I was
100%. I was a homer.
Oh, well, I was told not to say we. So,
maybe all right, things then. Have changed in those 2 5-year periods there.
Yeah. But, well, to be honest, the 5 years I was there saying we probably wasn't something I wanted to do anyway. So, not a lot of great basketball. But look, I don't have a problem with fans saying we. I mean, It is a we. It is a community. It's we the fans. It's we the Suns faithful. The Suns as an entity are more the city of Phoenix's than it is, Robert Sarver or anybody else's. I get that ownership, technically owns the team, but the Suns are the fans. It's the only consistent for 53 years. Al McCoy almost is consistent, but fans are the consistent thing, right? It is our team as a fan base. And that's where the we comes to me.
For me, the we comes from, it doesn't come from this, but when I as a fan am saying we, I'm not saying we as in like me and the organization as a whole. It's me, fellow fans, and the players. Like, we are the group, right? Like, because at the end of the day, nobody is cheering on an organization. They are cheering on players to be in an organization, right?
You're not cheering on the business unit that puts on the marketing slogans. That's not who you're cheering.
Well, not at all.
You're not cheering the ticket sales group that's deciding to raise prices whenever they get the opportunity. No, you're 100% right. Nobody gives a crap about the business side of a sports team.
Well, and I think that was the point of her whole tweet, because if you see the follow-up tweet, she was like, the sooner that you realize that these organizations don't care about you. Yeah, like, same, bro. Like, we don't necessarily care about the organization as a whole. We care about the people who are suiting up night in and night out and what they're doing on the court and how we are all doing this as a community and enjoying it together. But like, if the organization, like if you told me tomorrow, I know we're going down a weird path here because of everything that's going on, but if you told me tomorrow the entire organization is being switched to another organization, I'd be like, cool. Are my guys still playing on the team? Because that's what you care about, right?
Do we get to keep the purple and orange and the name Suns? Good, so it's whatever.
It's the players. It's the fan base. Like, I don't think people lump in like the actual organizations into the wheeze when they talk about their team.
No,
I just wanted to bring it up because it was literally all over Twitter tonight.
Not at all. And I think the players appreciate the fans because they know that the fans can lift them up. I mean, think about how much they talked about during that playoff run, how much the fans were a part of lifting them, giving them that extra energy. That's the we that fans are talking about. That's mm-hmm. the we that the players are talking about. They know that there's a very important relationship between them and the fan base and those right. fans that are there paying hard-earned money to root them on, and that they can shift the entire dynamic of a game with the energy that they bring, with the cheering, those kind of things. That's when it's a we.
Right. Exactly. Plus when you talk to players, like you ask them, when they retired or if they're looking back on their career, when you ask them about favorite moments, oftentimes it's a play that happens on the court, but it's followed up by, I just couldn't believe how loud the crowd was that night. Or I just couldn't believe the city showed up like that. So it goes hand in hand. Like, those things are huge for them just as much as they are for us.
Look, that playoff run would have been boring as shit if the arenas had been empty again because of COVID. Mm-hmm. If they had not lifted the numbers restriction going into the Lakers series, that entire run would have been dramatically different. That crowd had a huge impact on that run, and you cannot tell me any differently. Having been at multiple games, the energy, you could just feel it. There was a palpable excitement that's in there. You cannot discount that at all. So
100%. All right. Well,
Gio asks, have you met Book? Dude's a nice guy. Yes. Lindsay and I have both spent time around Devin Booker. I got to his rookie year. And even then, you could tell the kid was special. He had that killer instinct, but he is a genuinely nice guy too, which makes it that much easier to root for him too.
Yeah, absolutely. Devin is a great person. He's so chill and just laid back. Like, I really appreciate that about him. But you can tell in every aspect of his life, he is so locked in and focused. Like, basketball is number one for him. And I think that's why he's as great of a player as he is and will continue to even – become more great throughout his career because he's got that. I mean, we talk about it like that mama mentality, right? Like he's so locked in about his craft and his career, but he's also finds time, you know, just like the rest of us to be human beings. He plays video games, but I think anything that he puts his mind to, he is so good at it, which you see with basketball, you see it with video games, ping pong, you name it. If Devin wants to be good at it, he's going to be good at it. And that is something that is so unique. And I'm super jealous of.
I love that killer instinct in anything. And it shows you after basketball, whatever he decides to do, if he decides to get in business, in media, like in film and television production, like Kobe did, whatever he decides to do, he's going to crush it because he's just got that way of looking at things and he won't let himself not be good at it. Mm-hmm. Connor in the chat, one of our good friends, one of the Cove Crazy, says, went to game one of the Western Conference Finals and never felt anything like that before. And Bees says that we was epitomized by Torrey Craig's half-court alley-oop slam versus Denver. Just an explosion of energy and passion in that atmosphere. And I think those are two great points. Yeah. That is exactly right there encapsulates the whole thought of a we mentality in saying that. Did we pull Lindsay
100%. I think those are really good analogies. Did I cut out?
Froze, so.
Sorry.
I'm also disappointed we didn't get the second Emmy. You let me down from
I forgot. I'm sorry. Well, listen, because it was an accident that I had to click on a link to watch tonight's game because something happened. I got a little frazzled for a minute because I was worried I had to get to the game really fast. All right, Espo, it's been super fun. We held it down here, just the two of us. But don't worry, guys. Saul will be back with us tomorrow for Suns at Nets. And that tips off at 5:30. It's a weird one when it starts at a 30 hour.
Yeah, we got a 5 p.m. pregame and then probably an 8 p.m. postgame is what I'm
saying. So come hang out with us tomorrow. Pregame, like Espo said, at 5:00, and then postgame right after the final buzzer. Saul will be back here with us. Gerald is still on vacation eating all the chilies out in New Mexico. Lucky him. Yeah, he'll be back on Monday.
Before we get out of here, head over to the PHNX locker. We've got some damn good deals going on for Black Friday. We're ticking down here. There's about 4 hours left for you to take advantage of them. Up to 50% off. Shirts in that locker. If you become an annual member, if you haven't already joined the family, if you become an annual member, you're going to get $60 in free merch to that locker. So you sign up, you get that $60 in free merch, which basically means you got your entire year subscription for -$0.02. Then you go to the locker and you use that $60 on some sweet, sweet merch that's up to 50% off. So basically you get a whole new wardrobe, great content, and all you've done is spent $59.98 in the end, but gotten all this great stuff. So go do it. Act now before time runs out. And now I sound like an infomercial, so I'll let you take it away, Lindsay.
But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, though. Like we talked about this in pregame. This is the best time to become a member at GoPHNX and pick up some merch because this is a killer deal. Like you're not going to see something better than this, in my opinion, or if you do, I would be so shocked because we're basically giving you all the clothes and all the content for like super, super cheap. So
yeah. And if you act now, we'll throw Lindsay's beanie in because I'm giving away everything right now.
Beanie. We'll give your hat.
Oh, fine. My hat, any of the stuff in this room. Let's just get it done.
I'm surprised you said that because it's your favorite hat.
That's how dedicated I am. I will give away the hat off my head if it gets you in here to be part of this family. Lindsay may not give you her beanie. I'll give you my damn hat. That's how we roll here.
I would give you a hat if I was wearing it for sure. But beanies are on a whole nother level.
How about the Emmy? Can we give the Emmy away?
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right. If you spend over $2,000 in the merch shop and you show proof, I'll give you Lindsay's Emmy. All right.
Oh man. But yeah, for sure. Check it out. Go phnx.com. Like Espo said, it's just through the end of the night. So if you're on the fence, go over there right now and make a decision one way or the other. It also makes a really good gift, you guys. Like, you could buy it now for this price, get that, those, all the merch, and then gift that to somebody for Christmas. And then you have an awesome Christmas gift for like $60. Like, that's super good.
And if you spend $2,000, you can give somebody an Emmy for Christmas. That's a hell of a deal. It's a hell of a deal.
As Chris said in the comments, slide behind that paywall and read all the things. Absolutely. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. We hope to see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, I'm Lindsay Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. That's Espo. You can follow him on Twitter at Espo. And as always, you can follow the show on Twitter at PHNX_Suns. Espo?
Ahoy hoy.